Things are getting a bit wild. Pun intended. A search warrant in Enfield led to a pretty disturbing discovery. Police saying they found firearms, narcotics, and more than 50 animals inside of a home, including an illegally possessed monkey. Days later, authorities say in Hamden, there was a warehouse where it became home to dozens of illegal reptiles, including 46 venomous snakes. Yikes. So obviously I wanted to talk about animal hoarding situations and just the dangers of having especially animals that could be either dangerous or just don't belong in households at all. Joining us back on the show is Annie Hornish, the Connecticut State Director for the Humane World for Animals. Annie, thank you so much for always giving us the time. Talk a little bit first about, are you surprised that we hear about animal hoarding situations in Connecticut and sort of your thoughts on both of these cases just this week?
Yes, good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me on again. It's unfortunate to hear about these cases. And the first one about the capuchin that was found, which was being illegally held, because, you know, we do have laws in Connecticut that prohibit ownership of primates. Non-human primates absolutely should not be kept as pets. You know, they're intelligent, social, wild animals whose complex needs and public safety risks make private ownership harmful both for them and unsafe for communities. There's unsafe in terms of injury to the handlers and in terms of injury to law enforcement who may need to intervene should the animals get out. You know, these are wild animals. So I think in both these cases that you mentioned, first of all, it may be illegal to have these animals. Certainly some of them are illegal to have. And are their needs being met is the first question we need to ask. And then, of course, the public safety is a major concern, having wild animals in the household.
We've seen cases in the past, Annie, correct me if I'm wrong, in Connecticut, where not just animal hoarding situations, but on a separate note, people having wild animals as pets. And I think the one that stands mm-hmm. out to me is, and I know this was years ago, but wasn't there a case in Lower Fairfield County where somebody had a chimpanzee?
Yes. That was a very tragic incident. Mm-hmm. Travis, the chimpanzee, attacked a visitor to the owner's home, and that visitor was a good friend of the owner of Travis and was severely injured mm-hmm. with life-altering injuries. She survived that, but that was very tragic all around. Travis was killed, and that's what happens in a lot of these incidents. If animals are not contained, sometimes they can get out and they can do great harm. They are wild animals. That's what people have to always remember. And, you know, social media is fueling demand for possession of exotic animals by portraying primates as cute or manageable, sometimes even human-like, with primates. And that increases the exploitation and trade of these animals. But it is illegal in Connecticut. And that example you point to, Melissa, drove legislation the following year that expanded the laws in Connecticut to prohibit possession of chimpanzees. And that was a very good law, very necessary law. And one thing we don't know, like a lot of these cases surface, we don't know the actual number of primates and other animals that are in private homes across the United States, because they're typically held illegally. Most states do ban possession of these animals.
And again, we have Annie Hornish here, who is the Connecticut State Director of Humane World for Animals. There's two parts to these stories in particular, Annie, that I want to dive into. One is animal hoarding. The other is getting your hands on exotic animals. Let's start with, how do they even get possession of these types of animals? Again, the monkey in the Enfield situation, or mm-hmm. even in the Hamden situation, 46 venomous snakes. How do you even find these animals and get possession of them?
Yeah, these are likely. I don't know the detail, the specifics of those cases.
To
comment on those.
Sorry,
Let
me rephrase using those as examples. But in general, because you'll hear about something like this where you can get possession of, I mean, even tigers or different animals that you're like, where you're not going to a pet shop, you're not going to a shelter. Where are they getting them?
Yeah, they're illegal. It's a black market is what it is. And that's unfortunately, that does exist. And it's very dangerous for, law enforcement, frankly, when they respond to these situations. But it is a black market where they're procured. And that's why it's really important to be, Connecticut did a good job with that passage of the law. That was back in 2010. There's also federal legislation that would help law enforcement crack down on this black market. There's a bill out now, the Captive Primate Safety Act, H.R. 3199, introduced by Congressman Mike Quigley of Illinois, that would help, and that's supported by the National Sheriff's Association. All these things, like passing better laws to make law enforcement easier to crack down on these black markets, I think that's a necessary step we need to take.
This week alone, a search warrant in Enfield led to a disturbing discovery. Police saying they found not only firearms and narcotics, but more than 50 animals inside of a home, including an illegally possessed monkey. And then days later, authorities say in a separate case, a Hamden warehouse became home to dozens of illegal reptiles, including 46 venomous snakes. We are talking about just how common and how dangerous animal hoarding situations can be. Talking to Annie Hornish about this, Connecticut State Director of Humane World for Animals. So the other part of this, besides how do you get your hands on illegal animals, which, again, I'm not trying to give people the Cliff Notes version of how to do that, but it's more of that is kind of fascinating when you talk about, well, how does that even happen? But the other side of this, Annie, is why do animal hoarding situations occur? How do you go from having a few animals to dozens?
Yeah, we hoarding cases usually involve more domesticated animals like dogs and cats. And that, in Connecticut, at least, that's what we see. That's much more common. And that usually is a mental health issue. And that's how the best way to address those matters are through, getting the animals out of there, but helping those people through treatment services in that way. That's a lot of people go into that with, they're well-intentioned, but there's a underlying mental health issue, and they it gets out of control to the detriment of the animals involved. So that's something I think we, needs to be addressed. It has to be law enforcement needs to get active and take care of those animals. But compassion for the people also has to be a part of that, that those situations. With wild animals, that's way, far less common. That's more of a collection of animals. It's usually lower volume. The problem with that is, a lot of this is fueled by social media too. They portray these animals as, very cute and manageable. And it's true that, while those animals are young, they may appear manageable or be manageable when they're infants, but they mature into strong animals, into very territorial adults. And what happens at the end of those, situations, that often leads to abandonment of those animals or surrender to sanctuaries or involvement in very dangerous incidents. Also, with these animals, wild animals in particular, public disease spread is a concern that, in addition to injuries, scratch injuries or puncture wounds, there's serious diseases that can be spread by these wild animals, including tuberculosis, Campylobacter, herpes B, that's associated with monkeys, pox viruses. And so those are issues too that people need to consider before they take these animals in. And most of the wild animals, it's illegal to import them in from other countries, but there is a black market in the United States where they're you know, there's a domestic trade going on here, which, you know, we need to crack down on.
So years ago, long time ago, my mother mm-hmm. got a teacup pig, which you'll laugh at, Annie, because obviously there's no such thing as a teacup pig, but that's what it was advertised as. Now, granted, mm-hmm. my parents live in an area where it is technically farmlands, and my mom grew up with a farm, and so we have goats, and she's, mm-hmm. you know, so she's good. But when they got the pig, to your point, the pig is massive. I mean, there's an ongoing mm-hmm. debate. We've had Gertie now for close to a decade, I'm sure. First of all, pigs mm-hmm. live for a very long time. Second of all, a teacup pig, no matter how much you want to slice and dice, is not a real thing. And they get massive. Gertie is a potbelly pig. And mm-hmm. there are debates in our house just how heavy Gertie is. We still haven't determined that. Anyways, my point being is you brought up a couple of things there that I think fall on the individual person, which is educating ourselves and understanding, first of all, even that puppies become dogs, kittens become cats, bunnies become mm-hmm. rabbits. Understanding that, like a child, animals are the same way. And when you get a pet, you need to really thoughtfully understand what that's going to mean for you, your household, and how long they're gonna be there. That's one part of this conversation. Mm-hmm. Another part of this conversation, though, is are we doing enough to crack down, even at the local level, of hoarding situations? I think you and I have talked about before that whenever we want to adopt mm-hmm. another animal, and I'll be clear, I have 3 dogs that we've adopted and a cat. Every time we have adopted an animal, our vet had to clear it. Had to, you know, we at least that was the way that it was for us. But I'm curious if you feel like, have we opened Pandora's box and have we done enough to, besides educate people better on animal cruelty, animal rights, and just the responsibility of having them in your household, have we done enough to also try to block situations of hoarding from taking place, let alone the illegal possession of animals that should never be in a household?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Melissa. Great points, I should say. Yeah, that's true. And I think public education is huge on that. I think people need to ask themselves when they look, before they take an animal in, they have to look at the environment and ask themselves, will, for that animal, will their physical, social, dietary, psychological needs be met in that home? Can they express natural behaviors? Can they exist in that home? And that's something we have to ask ourselves. And that's part of that is educating yourself about, for example, with Gertie, how big is that pig going to get? Can you manage a pig that size and provide the proper environment? And also, you know, the people need to think in the terms of wild animals, consideration for neighbors. There's oftentimes we learn about possession of wild animals after there's escapes or attacks from those animals, and that puts a lot of people, including, you know, emergency responders, at risk. So we need to weigh all of that as part of being a responsible citizen. That's what people should be thinking. And that education goes a long way in helping people understand, you know, the needs of animals, the consideration for neighbors, and of course, passing laws to restrict behaviors from people who might not care, say, right, that there's and so we do, you know, we need to always work on laws to prevent that, and that protects both animals and people.
Well, and even where we get our animals. So, you know, let's, if yep. you want to use Gertie, or even just go to the most common place that people get dogs that drives me crazy, or puppy mills, you know. So Gertie mm-hmm. was again, I don't remember where, I was in college already when my parents had or I was living in Vermont. It doesn't matter. Either way, I don't know where they found Gertie, but I remember when they sent it over. The reason that my parents will send things to me is they're like, she's going to vet it because, you know, it's a newsie in me. And so I'm like, mm-hmm. well, just so you know, it's not going to be a teacup pig. I mean, that's not a real thing, you know, like, just so you know. And then where is it coming from? I don't even think we have enough laws or even ways. And that's not really a Connecticut thing. That's more of a federal thing. But cracking down on even how you can have these animals just kind of be shifted around and advertised and be kind of mass produced. It's horrible.
Yeah, and that's a that was a puppy mill. So that's a terrible thing happening. We have about 14 stores right now in Connecticut that are, we don't have puppy mills per se in Connecticut, but we have stores that are selling dogs that are sourced from puppy mills.
Well, and we have a lot of people who want animals, specific species of dogs, and they're using puppy mills without a lot of the times using it, like realizing it, I should say.
Exactly. And for those people, I would say there are a lot of rescues that are breed specific now that can satisfy that desire. If people need a very specific look of an animal, there's always a humane way to find, to satisfy that. So I think we need to crack down on that. You know, we've pushed for legislation, as you know, for several years. This year we were trying to, pass a bill that would allow municipalities to ban the sale, to clarify that they can do that, because there was uncertainty raised in Stamford. Stamford almost passed an ordinance. They passed actually an ordinance. The mayor vetoed it that would have banned the sale. And so we were trying to get that through this year, and unfortunately didn't get called for a vote on the House floor. But where people get their animals, can they care for the animals properly and give them an environment that meets that animal's, behavioral needs? You know, that's something people always need to be asking themselves as part of being, responsible pet owners.
Mm-hmm. Annie Hornish, always appreciate these conversations on the air. Thank you so much. Again, Connecticut State Director of Humane World for Animals right here on WICC.